Good afternoon, Juno. We are back from our commercial break, and this is your host, Christina Michelle Patterson, and we are here this Juno afternoon doing a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juno and KTOO. If you're just tuning in, we have several guests today from across the United States here for a discussion on the Black experience in the U.S. And before we went to break, we discussed just some things about how everyone is coping in this time where the Black Lives Matter movement is getting a lot of attention. Some of the reactions to the Breonna Taylor injustice. And we also discussed whether we think that Dr. King's approach to racial equality is still relevant today. Before we go on to the next question, Mr. Brown would like to add his thoughts to the conversation. Mr. Brown?
Yes, and so again, this is Tyrell Brown from Leesville, Louisiana. I spent 22 years in the military as well. And I discovered a lot of our conversation is on the black and white issue. But when I was in Heidelberg, Germany, I attended the largest Martin Luther King celebration that I've ever witnessed in my life. And to hear the German natives, nationals, discussing how he impacted their lives, because racism there, but it's a class racism, and we're dealing with money, but and to have people in a community who couldn't leave your community because you didn't fit into, it's sort of like what we're experiencing in the black community. But his approach, for non-racial change or non-violent change, it worked then. Switzerland was the same way. America is the same way. It worked then, it works now. But it has to be something that you believe in your heart, we take in our heart and move forward with it. So I believe that the whole world, black, white, and others, can positively move in a positive direction by following his example.
That's very good. Thank you. There are a couple of our panelists who have lived here in Alaska, and I would love to hear your experience on being a black professional in Alaska compared to where you are from and where you are now.
This is Keith Johnson, and currently I reside in Stafford, Virginia, which is basically a suburb of Washington, D.C. And I am from Alabama, from a little town called Sheffield in northern Alabama. And when I was stationed in Alaska, it was such an eye-opening experience for me to come into a place to where, first of all, you are a minority, but to be welcome, to be just looked at as an equal individual. Nothing. I never felt racism in Alaska. And a lot of people say, "Really? Really?" I never felt it. I felt accepted. Walked off of that ferry onto that great state of Alaska. And you know, even coming back to the Lower 48. I was kind of surprised at how, you know, some of the people still looked at African Americans down there. And so I was kind of taken aback with what they were still doing in the school system, where you still had, especially up in the D.C. area, segregated schools where, only blacks went to those schools, or you may have some other minorities, Hispanics. And I was knocked off my feet. I was like, really? And so some of those schools are still segregated by zones. And so to experience that and look at how still you have the have and have nots in certain areas of this DC area is really sad. And now growing up in Alabama, of course, we knew of segregated schools. We did not attend one. We attended integrated school, even in the 70s. And so so that was not something that we had to deal with. But it was very interesting to see that when I got to the D.C. area.
Well, I'd like to add a little bit to that. This is Chiquetta D. Johnson, the spouse of Keith Johnson. Juneau, Alaska. We were there in 1993, and I remember driving off the ferry, and I was thinking to myself, oh my God, what in the world have we gotten ourselves into? And like you said, it was pretty interesting. We spent quite a few months in a little hotel with a kitchenette downtown because our housing wasn't ready at the time. And it took a little bit of time for that. But living in Juneau, it was quite a surprise. I didn't know what to expect. But what I found was, like he said, that we were accepted in the community. We became a big part of the community. We found a church to attend. Our children were very active in school because at that point they were still in elementary school and then on to junior high school. Our daughter, they were very good students. And for me, I came from a community of community theater and had never been paid. That was my avocation. I loved it. I ate it. I breathed it. You know, I'd written a play. I had done many things but had never been paid. So when I came to Juneau, Alaska, I actually had an opportunity to do professional theater without a theater guild card, okay? And was paid to do it. So, and just to be welcomed into that community to be able to express myself that way in my art. Also, I was a manager at Fred Meyer for several years, enough to become 100% vested, so much so that I had stock and I used my stock to open my own store in Juneau, Alaska. As a matter of fact, Sherry worked there with me for a while and also worked with my business partner too in the store. So it was a very good experience. Had never even realized that I could do that kind of thing in that kind of community. But Alaska was good. But what I was sad to know was, I was sad to know that some of the people that I walked and talked with every day were truly African-American too. And things weren't so well for them. And our daughter, who was very active in the community as a high school student, who was a facilitator of a lot of conversations about drug and alcohol and all this kind of thing, I realized that there were a lot of Black young boys and girls in Alaska who are living such at a disadvantage because of some of the things that people felt and thought about them. And at one point I felt like, you know what, I'm in a position, this position belongs to, and I say this word with great pride, this position belongs to a Native person who has lived here, who has been raised here, whose heart is entrenched in this community. And so, you know, living in Juneau, I did a lot of stuff with the Native youngsters there, just encouraging them to just go for it, you know, to become all be in that system in Alaska, to stand up. And I would say that my daughter was definitely a big part of that community and encouraging people to stand up and to go for what they were entitled to. And I just like to say, but Alaska definitely was good to us. We were one of few Blacks that were there. I think maybe 3% of us were at the time.
Yeah.
From 1993 to 2000. Well, yeah, 3%. So, hey.
And I'm so grateful.
Talk a lot of lessons.
Yes, this is Sherry. And I'm just so grateful that our paths crossed in Alaska. We're forever friends. And yes, and I do remember all those times that we shared together, and here in Alaska, at least in Juneau, I can speak to that. I can speak to Anchorage also, because we live there also. I found that yes, there is still racism here to this day. A lot of people don't believe it, but it is, and it is more so with our Alaska Native population. Which is very sad because this is their land. But we go forth and we keep pushing for equality and justice for not only ourselves, but for our Alaska Native people also.
Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson. And I just have a follow-up question. On our Growing Up Black in Juno segment, it seemed like the children had almost the exact opposite experience with Juno. Like, they almost experienced racism immediately. And I just wanted to see if you guys could touch on, how do you raise children in Juno, being Black in a society where almost everybody they know and interact with is white? How did you get over some of those hurdles? What did that look like? Did your children experience racism? Did you have to fight harder for them in schools to get equal treatment? What did that look like? Can you share some of that with us?
Well, I would say for our daughter Monique, she's the oldest. She was such a stellar student, and we had been many places before we ever got to Alaska. So we didn't teach the whole color thing in our household, but because I was a part of the theater community, I probably talked a whole lot about color blindness, whatever that means to anybody. But we didn't talk, they knew they were Black. We emphasized that they were Black children, but they were given the idea that if they worked hard, they could accomplish basically anything they wanted to. So they had pretty much set their standards kind of high. They were interested in other cultures. And, you know, we saw a little bit of a problem when Monique was in high school, but we taught her to speak up for herself. And so she was really good at addressing things. Sherry and I oftentimes would laugh because my child is the one who could tell you off, never raise her voice, never say a curse word, and walk away. And you say, I think I just got told off. It may take you a month to realize that, but that's exactly who she was, you know? And I think that's why she became such a leader in that community, is because she, I don't know, she just had that, hey, people are people kind of attitude. And we didn't really experience that much trouble with our son. I'll let my husband speak to some of the things that happened to him that we experienced some racism with the athletic program.
Thank you. Yes, this is Keith Johnson. And for our son, Oren, who was a good athlete, and I was able to coach, be assistant coach on a lot of his teams. He was, he made all-star teams. He, you know, for baseball and football. But there were some times that we felt that, you know, he was overlooked in some instances. And so by being involved, I was able to make sure that, you know, he was given his proper due. I'll say that. But back to our daughter, she was also part of a class. Her senior class had five African-Americans in it. They graduated. But they were a standout class. They had, I think Carlos Boozer was a part of her class, who played basketball for Duke and went on to, you know, play in the NBA for the Utah Jazz and the Chicago Bulls. Robert Ridgeway Jr., who was a star football player, and I think he was the 100-meter track star at that time. And so, and Maya Arnold, who was a great student. You know, so they had kids, and that they were able to bond together and have strength together. And then we also, they knew who they were. They knew their history, you know, and being from Alabama, we, you know, they knew who they were, where they come from. They knew about their grandparents, great-grandparents, and, you know, what type of foundation they had. So I think that helped a lot in bringing them up in a way to where they would be respected and be proud of who they were.
Right, and then also, as well, as parents, we have to stick close to our children. We stuck close to them, we participated, we always showed up. Sometimes they were so busy, and me being a manager at Fred Meyer and him being in the Coast Guard, there was always one of us. If they had two events at the same time, there was always at least one parent there. Most of the time we were at most things, but you have to show your face. You have to be involved. You can't just send your children to school and have them be involved in things and you never show up. Okay. Yes. And that would be the greatest advice that I would give to those of you who are coming after us now is be involved. Be involved. Be involved. Speak Absolutely. Up, as they say, John Lewis, see something, you see something, say something. And that's exactly, you know, what we did. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, for sharing that. And what really stands out to me is the experience that your son had with in the sports arena. And that's a hot topic that's come up on a previous show here. And so it might be worth some further discussion. And to our audience, if that's something that you would like to hear more about, please let us know. We're going to go to commercial break again. And when we come back, I would just like to hear, speaking about the children, what is it that maybe your children or grandchildren are experiencing today that you never thought that they would in regards to racism? And what does the future look like in your perfect world? What would you like to see in the future? So we'll discuss that when we come back, and we will be back in just a moment.